Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. You know who I am, Cicely Davis. So excited to have you join me for yet another episode. It's going to be exciting. And I know I say that probably about every episode, but you know what? I just really love what I do. Really love being able to have another opportunity to connect with you, to bring you another perspective on what's going on in our great US of A, and politically where we are, and to uphold truth beyond anything else. If you're new to the channel, welcome. So excited and ecstatic and feeling blessed to have you join me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak to you and to listen in. For those of you who are the loyalists who come in and listen every week, I appreciate you. I wouldn't want to do this without you. I thank you so very much for your commitment. Now, whether you're new or returning, I have an ask. And it is always this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and in YouTube. Thank you so very much for those platforms for giving me an opportunity to connect with so many people. Now, we need to have a discussion about these California fires. Now, I know this is nothing new. I know that there's been a lot of commentary and there's been a lot of coverage on it. We've heard from a lot of celebrities and, you know, regular people alike. But you haven't heard from here. And what we're not going to do is allow the left, the regime of the Democrat Party, the far left regime, to, you know, try to slam us and say, oh, you can't make this a political issue. It's not a you're just so you're so callous for not caring. Oh, we absolutely care about people losing their homes. We care about people losing their possessions. We absolutely care about people who have lost heirlooms and important papers and things like that, being displaced, not knowing where to go or where to turn. We are not callous. We absolutely care, and our hearts go out to them. But we need to recognize and tell the truth that this was absolutely preventable, and there is someone to blame. There is someone to shake a finger at and blame, and it is California's leadership, particularly Governor and Bass and anyone who is leading LA, because Donald Trump, like so many others, have warned that this can and will happen. Now, California's devastating fires and the widespread destruction they leave in their wake are a tragic testament to failed leadership at both the state and the local levels. That's what we're going to make that statement about. We're going to make sure that people understand. Do not be misled by the other narratives. You're seeing all kind of headlines out of, you know, New York, the Washington Post, and the New York Times, that Republicans are using this as an opportunity to lay blame where there isn't blame. Absolutely, there is blame. Now, under Governor Gavin Newsom and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, policies have prioritized political posturing over pragmatic forest management and disaster preparedness. That is the truth. That is the fact. That is the savage truth of this episode.
Fire chiefs say that they're really stretched to the limit and running out of water. What have you got to say to them? Have you no response to that? Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today?
Can you back up, boss? I appreciate it.
Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position?
Decades of neglect and forest thinning, controlled burns, and infrastructure investment have compounded the state's vulnerability to wildfires. These leaders have allowed bureaucratic red tape and environmental overreach to obstruct effective land management, leaving communities unprotected and families misplaced, displaced, and devastated. The repeated attempt to explain these catastrophic events as a direct consequence of climate change rings hollow for Californians. Finally, they're actually starting to wake up. They're realizing, like, okay, this cannot be explained by climate change. Climate change does not play a role here, and it cannot excuse the glaring mismanagement of resources and failure to implement basic preventative measures. Okay. Instead of addressing practical solutions, state leadership, Karen Bass, Gavin Newsom, and others have leaned heavily on politically convenient narratives that shift blame away from their lack of action. Many Californians are finally growing skeptical, recognizing that effective policies such as clearing dead trees, basic, upgrading power grids, basic, and improving emergency response systems, basic, are being ignored in favor of climate rhetoric that offers little, very, very little in the way of immediate relief. And that's what these folks needed, immediate relief. Firefighters showing up with the hose, plugging it to the hydrant, and no water's coming out, okay? This is basic. The people of California deserve leadership that prioritizes results over ideology. Effective forest management and local actions have been shown to mitigate wildfire risks. That's the truth. Yet such strategies are continually underfunded or dismissed, okay? Just for an ideology, by focusing on excuses rather than solutions. Wait a minute. Didn't Kamala Harris come out of California and Gavin Newsom and leadership out of California? Beware. Ah, okay. By focusing on excuses rather than solutions, state and city leaders have allowed this crisis to spiral. There's something sick about the leadership in that state. It's time to demand accountability from those in power and to push for policies that genuinely safeguard lives, safeguards homes and communities, rather than relying on narratives that fail to address the root cause of the devastation. And I have to say, now that this has occurred and we've watched it all, again, our hearts go out to those who have lost. But this is an opportunity. Once people are able to figure out a way to pick up, you cannot continue to vote these people in. It is left up to you, and you can act by using your vote. Think about this in the next 2 years when it's time for another surge of elections. Think about that. Donald Trump, of course, was in, and he warned everyone about this. Okay. Donald Trump repeatedly warned about the catastrophic risk posed by California's poor forest management practices. He emphasized the importance of clearing dead trees, maintaining fire breaks, and conducting controlled burns to prevent devastating wildfires. He was in there. He said this loud and clear. And the man always does it in front of a camera, so you can't miss it, right? It's re-aired, it's republicized. He said this all. Now, despite his practical advice, he was mocked. Do you remember that? He was mocked and dismissed by state leaders and media outlets who claimed his remarks were simplistic or misinformed. However, as California continues to grapple with unprecedented destruction year after year, it's clear his warnings were rooted in common sense and sound policy, which I, for one, am looking forward to have in the next 4 years. Okay. The growing public frustration with leadership failures only underscores that Trump's calls for proactive land management were not just precedent, but they were necessary, people. Now, the light is shining on the consequences of ignoring those warnings, proving that his approach prioritized protecting lives and property over political narratives. Now, that reminds me of this. I have to bring her up because there's always one lefty imbecile who has something to say or something to write about in social media. And that, of course, would be Julia Roberts. Oh, you remember Pretty Woman. Okay, Julia. Julia Roberts has unwittingly delivered an Academy Award-worthy performance in hypocrisy by criticizing looters during the Los Angeles fires. The same actress who proudly lent her voice to Kamala Harris, who notoriously supported bailing out rioters and looters during the 2020 chaos, now seems to have a sudden moral awakening. It's almost as if her indignation only kicks in when the looters threaten to breach her gated community or the pristine boulevards of Hollywood. Now, for someone who rubbed elbows with politicians and activists who excused or even romanticized looting as a means of survival, her newfound outrage is as hollow as a Hollywood soundstage. The irony is almost too rich to digest. Julia's Democratic allies, including Kamala Harris and AOC, spent years, if you remember, years, if you can recall, justifying looting as a necessary response to inequality. Remember, AOC even claimed people were just stealing bread to feed their families. They were stealing, but it was for bread to feed their families. Apparently, though, this systematic narrative doesn't apply when looters venture beyond downtown chaos and into affluent neighborhoods. Robert's sudden pivot from defending the downtrodden to condemning looters reeks of not in my backyard elitism. That's what it always boils down to, folks. Perhaps she believes looting is acceptable so long as it doesn't threaten her jewelry collection or disrupt her next red carpet gala. The message is clear here, very clear. And here's the savage truth. Looting is fine when it's other people's stuff being stolen, according to Julia Roberts. This glaring double standard isn't just hypocritical. It's emblematic of the disconnect between Hollywood elites and the rest of America. Julia's outrage over looters during the fires is laughable, given her previous support for a political regime that excused, enabled, and even celebrated similar behavior. The rules change when the looting comes close enough to make her feel unsafe in her gated paradise. Roberts has proven that her principles are as palatable as a script that she memorized, leaving us all to wonder, is this sudden moral stance genuine or is it just another act? Spoiler alert, folks, we're not buying tickets to this performance. And Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe is finally leaving the White House. I heard he's gone already. Got his place. Probably has an elite room at the senior citizen home. Thank God. And of course, his whole agenda is to burn America down on his way out. But let's thank God Almighty. We don't have to and even don't want to hear from Joe Biden again. President Biden's final speech from the Oval Office has drawn a sharp criticism from Republicans and Democrats. And independents, well, heck, just about everyone with any sense at all, who sees it as an emblematic trope of his inability to fulfill the promises of unity and progress he made during his presidency.
Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. You know, his farewell address, President Eisenhower spoke of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. He warned us then about, and I quote, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power, end of quote. Six decades later, I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech-industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well.
Far from being a unifying farewell, the speech painted a bleak picture of the nation, underscored by divisive rhetoric and a lack of clear vision for America's future. He just had nothing positive to say at all. He was bitter. He was clearly angry. He just read the speech. He was in a hurry to just get it quick and over with so he can get out. And instead of focusing on hope and resilience, it dwelled on challenges and failures, all of which he should have claimed. Okay, betraying the very spirit of optimism that Americans expect from their leaders in times of transition. This approach, of course, further alienated an already fractured electorate. Now, when I say that, I mean fractured Democrat electorate, okay, not Republicans. We're all unified over here. We're feeling good. It's good to be red, okay? And the highlighted administration's failure to heal the divides, it pledged to mend. Remember, Joe Biden was supposed to be the adult in the room. Remember, that was his promise when he was running. The speech served as a disappointing culmination of President Biden's nearly 50 years in political office. Half a century, folks. 50 years of enduring the worst man in politics. A career many view as emblematic of Washington's inefficiencies. And that's exactly what it was. Okay. It also should be an embarrassment for all of you who kept voting that man in as senator and certainly as president. I never, ever stroked that pen. Okay. Despite his extensive tenure in public service, his legacy is overshadowed by policy missteps, a sluggish economy, and a disjointed approach to pressing national issues. From the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan to rising inflation and a border crisis spiraling out of control, Biden's administration is perceived as a missed opportunity to strengthen America's position at home and abroad. It is by far the worst presidency in American history. Let me be absolutely savage about that statement. In fact, that is the savage truth of the episode. The absolute worst, most failed presidency in American history. These failings, Republicans contend, are not isolated incidents, but rather the result of decades of entrenched political inertia and misjudgment. Biden campaigned as a candidate who would bridge partisan divides. Yet his presidency has been marked by increased polarization. He weaponized all of our agencies, turned them against American people. His administration often pursued partisan legislative goals, bypassing consensus, building efforts, and exasperating tensions between political factions. He absolutely attacked all, not just some, but all of his political opponents. Republicans argue that Biden's leadership style, which leaned heavily on executive orders and party line voters, further alienated Americans who hoped for compromise and collaboration. Okay, they didn't get that, which is why they voted for Donald Trump. The divisive tone of his final address only reinforced this narrative, leaving many to question his commitment to unity and bipartisan. I don't question it at all. Matter of fact, now that I say that, he was not at all interested in unifying this country. Ultimately, Joe Biden's Oval Office farewell is seen by many as a grim epithet of a career that promised much but delivered nothing, failed completely on every sphere. It encapsulated a presidency defined by unfulfilled pledges, a mounting challenges, corruption, lies, okay, hypocrisy. Let's not forget that crackhead son of his, okay, leaving the nation more divided and less confident in its leadership. Now, while Biden may have hoped to use the final address to cement his place in history, critics argue, like I, that it instead underscored the profound disconnect between his rhetoric and the realities of his governance. So farewell and good riddance to Joe Biden. Hope to never, ever see or hear from you again. And take Jill Biden and your crackhead son with you. We are better off. We have Donald Trump. So please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.